Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. What a weekend it was in the National Football League. We're going to get to it here in just a second with JC. Second portion of today's program, we're joined by Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. He'll discuss the Lady Gator basketball team continues to win. Upset number 11 LSU yesterday. When will they take the interim tag off Kelly Ray Finley? We'll ask Scott, get his thoughts. But first, let's go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by JC, who is a happy camper. Good morning, JC. How are you?
Well, you know, QB, yeah, I mean, you've got some weekend here, and I'll tell you, a lot of what I didn't think would happen happened, and I certainly think that I certainly think we saw one of the most epic I mean these games did not disappoint today, and in terms of entertainment value, obviously. And I gotta feel bad for Buffalo, man. Those Bills, they played about as well as I thought they would, and I don't know how they didn't win. I'm thinking to myself, what could have changed or been done differently? And really not other than maybe squibbing the kick with 13 seconds to go.
But here's the thing about squibbing a kick.
Yeah.
People need to remember this. The clock does not start when the foot meets leather. It doesn't start until, and so what you're taught in that situation, if a squib was to be squibbed, is fall on it immediately. So no time would have gone off, maybe a second. Should they have tried it? Possibly, because I'm not sure. I don't remember if Tyreek Hill was back there, because you remember they put Tyreek Hill to return punts in this game. Was he one of the returners? And I could see them being concerned in that situation. But yeah, it's just a disappointment. Those are the two best teams in football. We thought that all along. The two best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, they were phenomenal. It was one of the greatest football games you'll ever witness. And the NFL. I know people are going to sit here. Well, you got to play defense. I understand that, but. But to not have an opportunity to have a chance to touch the football is the dumbest rule in all of sports. I've said it for years. The coin toss should not matter. Anybody that wants to sit here, I will argue with all day, you know, the Buffalo Bills need to play defense. That's true. But it's garbage, because both teams should have the equal opportunity to have the same amount of possessions in overtime.
You know, when you talk about those, I agree with that totally. I don't know why the coin flip has to be so important. You had four lead changes in the final 2 minutes of this game. And you talk about those quarterbacks, Allen and Mahomes, 50 for 81, 707 yards, 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Allen's rating was 136. Mahomes' rating was 123. You just won't find better quarterback play than what those two guys gave you yesterday. And I just knew that once you roll Harrison Butker out on the field, you basically know what's going to happen. And he made his kick. They somehow scored with 13 seconds, and then they won the coin flip. I mean, that's a shame it has to end like that. I totally agree with that. I don't know why it is that way. I wish it wasn't. I would like to see the Yonas.
Well, they've changed it once where, you know, in overtime in the past, it used to be the first person who scored won the game. Now they changed it. If you kick a field goal, the other team gets opportunity. And then I hear people talking about, you know, maybe they should change it just for the playoffs. No, that's like the dumbass rule that they have at the end of basketball games in the last minute where you can review a call. There's no difference than a call at the end of the game that's more important than a call that happens in the first quarter. It makes no sense to me. And so it needs to it definitely needs to change for sure. And obviously, I mean, the Bills could have stopped them. I get all that. But you saw, as I've been saying all year long, two of the greatest quarterbacks you're going to witness for the next 10, 15 years. They are so freaking talented. It is scary how talented those two guys are. Here's what's crazy, JC. And I said this last year, and people laughed at me. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter for the Chiefs for 4 years.
Yeah.
Do you realize he has a chance to go to his third Super Bowl in 4 years? That's why I said he's going to go to more. He will go to more Super Bowls than Tom Brady. He may not win as many, but he will go to more than Tom Brady went to. Brady went to 10.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, Patrick Mahomes will go to more. He's getting ready to go to his third and his fourth year. Think about that.
Well, yeah, four straight AFC championship games. Think about that. That's exactly right, what you just said, basically. Four straight AFC championship games.
The one year that he didn't go, he got screwed because of the overtime rule.
Yeah. I know. That was true. And I think his rookie year. So I don't know. I mean, I think the Bengals, that's another great story. You got a quarterback there who is so cool, and you got a team there that's got players locked up for the next 3, 4, 5 years. You're looking at probably a team that, if they stay healthy, will dominate that division, I think, in the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, that was so impressive, the way they played defense and the way they pushed around Tennessee, who had been waiting for them for 2 weeks. And Cincinnati comes out and just plays exceptional defense and turns the ball over for their offense to win the football game, putting pressure on Tannehill, keeping Henry under lock and key, and beating the Tennessee Titans, the number one seed. And then what can you say about the 49ers? The way they special teams won that game for them, and Green Bay kind of must feel like they gave that one away too. And then you've got the Rams, who yesterday kind of took control of this game, had the lead for most of the day, should have probably put it away earlier, but kicked the ball around, choked it up, got Tampa back in it, and almost just collapsed. We almost witnessed just a complete collapse against Tampa Bay. Had Tampa won that game, they would be hosting the 49ers next week. So instead, it goes out to Los Angeles, where they can't block the 49ers. But I think the Niners are kind of banged up right now. Green Bay really, really played a physical game, as did San Francisco, but they're banged up. And the Rams, I think, are pretty healthy. It should be a really exciting day out in Los Angeles, as it will in Kansas City with Cincinnati coming in. That's it.
Yeah, we got a couple of Facebook live questions here, brought to you by Metal Law. Andy says, in the Tampa game, on that personal foul that was delivered on Evans in the fourth quarter, why is that hit not part of that play? In the National Football League, it's a dead ball because he was hit after the ball hits the ground, so it's a dead ball, change of possession. That had nothing to do with the game, quite honestly. Look, I'll sit right here and I'll argue with anybody. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were so fortunate for that game to even be close. Yeah. If Akers doesn't fumble on the 1 yard line right with 15 seconds left before the half, that game is clearly over. Then you got Cooper Kupp, who fumbles in Tampa territory, and then Akers fumbles. I mean, they clearly dominated the Buccaneers, and it was exactly what I said. I don't know why they ever called a run play. I don't know why the Buffalo Bills ever call a run play. I don't know why the Chiefs ever call a run play. When you have those type of quarterbacks, you're putting your team at risk when you hand the ball off and you go 2nd and 10. And that made me so upset in the first half of the Bills game. I know it was tied at half, but they punted a couple of times because they ran the ball too much. And those two guys are the best. I mean, it is crazy the amount of hang on just 1 second. I had to get something there. Somebody just handed me something. But no. Okay, so I lost my train of thought, but basically the Rams beat the crap out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, the game should have never been close.
I was in the stadium, QB, and the place was going bananas. It was as loud as I've ever heard it in Tampa when they came back. Credit to the fans for not leaving. They clearly could have, but that fumble before half that Akers had on the goal line kept the slim breath of life that Tampa had alive, and they did not quit. And the Rams helped them out a little bit there, but I think you've got a really good NFC championship. I think you've got a team in San Francisco that is so resilient. I don't know. I mean, it's incredible. It's just incredible the way they play so physical and just come back week after week. Kyle Shanahan, such a great job running that offense. And I thought the Rams had a great plan yesterday, too. You know, that pass down the seam to Cooper Kupp that got him down the field goal range to win the game was just tremendous. I mean, Tampa, I don't know where the coverage was, QB. You could probably tell me. But he looked so damn wide open. I couldn't believe how he got behind those guys. And that was
They went cover zero, all out blitz for some reason. Well, yeah. And I thought they had a miscommunication. And look, here's the thing. Matt Stafford was unbelievable. Like I told you, I would have never called a run play because I told you the secondary of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is horrible. Andy wants to know, I get the call typically, usually away from the ball, but that was directly related to the play. Yes, but in the NFL, once the ball hits the ground, it's a dead ball. Anything that happens after that, if it hadn't been fourth down, if it had been on a third down, the Bucs would have still retained the football. It had been a 15-yard penalty against the Rams. But since it was on fourth down, dead ball, change of possession, 15-yard penalty on the Rams, but they maintained possession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Chris says the Chiefs play mistake-free football. Don't think anyone will beat them here for it. No, the Chiefs, I mean, I basically, you know, that last night was the two best teams in the National Football League. Don't look at their records, but those are clearly the two best teams. And the Chiefs, in my opinion, now should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. So we shall see. Let's talk a little bit about the fiasco in Green Bay.
Okay.
You get a field goal block right before half.
Yeah.
And then you get a punt block for a touchdown. And it is just a shame that, look, in the National Football League, home field advantage means absolutely nothing these days. Nothing. You know, every road team should have won yesterday. And I believe having that week off, yes, you may get some people healthy, but I think it messes up these teams' rhythm.
Yeah, I think Tennessee demonstrated that. I mean, credit to the Bengals, right? But Tennessee looked bad. They ended up turning the ball over, and they just didn't have it going offensively. I can't argue with that. I think that's pretty true. And I certainly think that you know, unless you're really hurting and banged up, and a lot of your players need some time to get right. But you know, I didn't think we'd see Nick Bosa play, and there he was, right? So. The 49ers are just one of the most resilient groups. I know Green Bay feels like they choked it all away, and I would justifiably give them that, and I think they did. Because if you just kick the ball, if you just make a field goal, go up 10-0. I mean, it wasn't like San Francisco was lighting up the field going up and down. They couldn't catch passes, basically, in the first half.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about that game, JC, you remember the Packers take the opening drive, 7-0. 49ers go 3-and-out. They punt to them. Packers are marching again. They throw a flat route to Marseilles Lewis.
He fumbles.
I mean, they are getting ready to go score again. So it's crazy how little plays here and there can cost you a game. Obviously, my man Brad here on Facebook Live, he must be a Buccaneer fan. He says the two unsportsmanlike calls were total BS. One was just trash talking. The other was just because of a BS non-call on Brady. I don't know. That had nothing to do with the game, Brad. The Buccaneers – totally got dominated in that game in every aspect, and I still to this moment can't figure out how that game was even close.
It shouldn't have been. I mean, Akers fumbled. I mean, we explained why it got close.
The game wasn't even close.
Right.
I mean, like I told you, the Rams were clearly the better team going into the game. The Rams were clearly the better team in the game, and it should have been a woodshed beating. John says the 49ers got everything off of special teams. Crazy. Does any wide receiver impact the game more than Deebo Samuel? No. Do you think – I was going to propose this question to all the people listening. Do you think Deebo Samuel is the best wide receiver Steve Spurrier ever signed?
Well, that's a great question. You'd have to go back to some of those Florida Gator wide receivers, Ike Riddell, so forth. But Deebo is so diverse. He's not just a wide receiver. He can run the ball as a running back. And he's just tremendous in every aspect of the game, the way he plays, the physicality, the talent. You know, South Carolina, That's probably one of the best players that ever played at South Carolina, maybe the best player that ever played at South Carolina. And he, you know, when he gets it going, I mean, he dominated the Rams in that regular season game two times in the regular season. It was a Deebo Samuel show. And I don't know why it wouldn't be again this weekend, but maybe the Rams will adjust. I just think, though, that's a great question. There's a couple of Florida Gator receivers that you can throw in there, for sure. But he's got to be in the top 10. There's no doubt. Top five, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, back to the Bucks-Rams game, which, when is the last time you saw a professional field goal kicker be short from 47 yards out? People forget if the Rams make that field goal with about 5 minutes to go in the game, they go up 17. Yeah. And it was dead center, but it was short. I don't know if the ball was deflated or what, but I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that a kicker in the National Football League is short from 47 yards out.
No, it doesn't happen usually. Wind may have had something to do with it. It wasn't that windy, though. I think it was just he just didn't hit it right. Maybe he hit it fat, QB. You know what that's like, hitting something fat?
And, well, he didn't act like it. But when they showed the replay, he didn't act like that, and it didn't look it. Chris says on Facebook Live, Clowney was impressive at South Carolina. Yeah, no, Clowney was the first pick of the draft. We're talking about the best wide receivers that Steve Spurrier ever signed. Deebo was one of his guys. Hey, folks, Rap Spot's expanding. They opened up a second location in the heart of Gainesville at 1931 North Main Street. Rap Spot's teamed up with a crew at Vibrant Vinyl Works to offer color change wraps, advertising wraps, custom striping, hood wraps, and wall wraps. Go check out our good friends at Rap Spot. Speaking with JC on the Titan MR Hotline, we will be joined by Scott Carter, second portion of the show. He'll give us a rundown of what happened in recruiting over the weekend, but also we got to give the Lady Gator women's basketball team some love. They're on fire right now.
I love this story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
It is a great story. And this young lady has shown these players that nobody else has shown how to win. And the way they're playing, I just love the aggressiveness, the tendency to go out and dominate and win these games that otherwise probably would have been losses. I think it's Finley should – I don't know what he's waiting on. Just go ahead, like we said on Friday, sit there on the front porch when she comes home from work, hand her a folder, tell her to sign right here, you know, 5 years, go get them, be our coach, and let's go Gators and win in basketball, in women's basketball, because it's rarely ever happened. QB, on the football picks, you went 4-4, not bad, and I went 5-3, but you would have won had Buffalo won, because I had Kansas City. But once it got to overtime, I kind of had a feeling that it was not going to go well for Buffalo. And when they lost the coin flip, I said, well, that's it. They're probably not going to get the ball back. And then, you know, you had Cincinnati in the under. So that was really well done on your part. I had the Rams in the over. You had the under. You had all unders. I had all overs. And it was two unders on Saturday and two overs on Sunday. So we've got our games now. The Chiefs will play Cincinnati in the first game on Sunday in the AFC Championship, and then you'll have San Francisco for a third time trying to beat the Rams in L.A., but it'll probably feel like San Francisco because somehow 49er fans dominate the crowd. And that game, although maybe not this time, there were a lot of Rams fans at the game yesterday, but I don't know why San Francisco seems to always travel so well. But they'll be playing for a third time trying to beat the Rams. That'll be the late game of the NFC Championship. And we got Gator basketball tonight, QB.
They play the makeup game in Oxford against Ole Miss tonight. And then Tennessee on Wednesday. They're 3-3 in conference play right now. Need to win tonight. Going to be tough up in Tennessee. Back to the Niners. You know, I've said I think Kyle Shanahan's the best schemer play caller right now in all of football. They ran two plays where they put their all-pro left tackle at fullback, brought him in motion, and just he was mauling people. They ran it for about a 12-yard gain earlier in the game, and then on that crucial fourth down play, they went back to it. But here's the thing, JC.
The running back.
The running back made a horrible
read. He went the wrong way.
If he runs where he's supposed to, he is still running.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's claiming the call. The call was phenomenal. The play call was phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, Trent Williams is there for a reason, running back. Follow Trent Williams. And I don't know. I mean, I saw the same thing you saw. I was like, why did he cut it in? What did he see that?
All it was a double teams by pretty much everybody on the line. And it was basically a zone play, zone scheme, but they had an extra blocker, which the 49ers usually use a receiver coming in motion. But they brought big Trent in at fullback. And for all our listeners out there, he should have hit like the six hole. Imagine the six hole back in Pop Warner football. And he probably would have run for about 25 yards. It was so cleared out. But he hit it up in the A gap in like the two hole. And I don't understand. And of course, everybody on Twitter and the announcers are going, you know, what about that call? Look, folks, rewind it and watch it. It was a great play call. Bad, bad run by the tailback. Awful.
Bad execution. It almost cost them, but they got away.
We got some Facebook Lives here I need to read. Chris says, Cincinnati needs to get an offensive line. Burrow won't last getting hit that many times. Here's the thing. Playing offensive line in the National Football League is extremely hard. If you watch Tom Brady, he took a beating. Stafford got hit a bunch. Josh Allen was under pressure. It's the way of the world. If you're going to throw the ball as much as the Cincinnati Bengals, and they have a vertical down the field passing attack, it ain't a lot of horizontal stuff. Mm-hmm. He's going to get hit. It doesn't. I think their offensive line played pretty well. I mean, they have 8 or 9 sacks, but they don't give him a whole lot of hot reads and stuff to get rid of the football. So it's the scheme that they have. But I hear what he's saying. But listen, Joe Burrow.
Man.
Think about this, JC. Think about this. What if that kid loved the Ohio State Buckeyes and said, you know what? I'm going to graduate from Ohio State. I'm not worried about playing football. What if he never transfers to LSU?
We never would have had LSU wouldn't have won a national title.
He wouldn't be getting ready to be one of the highest paid NFL players ever for the next year or two.
And he wouldn't have been the first pick in the draft. And the Bengals wouldn't be in the playoffs. I mean, so much happened with that simple transfer to Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger and the LSU Tiger offense. And, he's a legend in LSU, kind of like Stetson Bennett in Georgia, right? He can do anything he wants in Baton Rouge. And right now it's getting to be where he can basically do anything he wants in the state of Ohio or Cincinnati, at least. And I think it's a great story, QB. This is another great one of those great stories about somebody who came out of nowhere, literally, to great things. And, man, I mean, look at these Bengals. This is the most pathetic postseason organization you've seen in the last 25 years. And they're in the AFC Championship. And this guy's getting hit day in and day out, gets right back up. He suffered a knee injury last year, comes right back, gets hit all over the place this year, gets up and executes that offense with some real good playmakers that they have, and they are in the AFC Championship. And you're crazy if you don't think they're going to give Kansas City – I think they're going to give Kansas City a good game, but I agree with you. I think Kansas City at the end will come out on top, but you got to feel great for Cincinnati, man. I mean, this team had nothing for 25 years, basically, in the playoffs, and – never won. Marvin Lewis never won a playoff game as coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, and he was there for over a decade. So it's a great story for the Bengal fans. I'm thrilled for the Bengal fans.
Yeah, I think they'll keep it close. They beat the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, but the Chiefs, in my opinion, are going to win it all. I thought whoever won last night in that game would win the Super Bowl.
We could have a rematch of 2 years ago, QB, with San Francisco and Kansas City, and this time it'll be out in L.A.
How about this stat, JC? The 49ers have won 3 straight elimination games on the road by a combined total of 12 points.
Yeah.
In those games, Jimmy G has thrown 1 touchdown and 4 interceptions. Think about that.
Defenses want it for them. They're a defensive team.
And special teams.
And special teams.
Fluke plays there in Green Bay, but that's part of the game. Chris says, does Aaron Rodgers end up in New Orleans next year? I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a 49er or a Bronco.
Or a Bronco. I could see either one of those, but I could also see Sean Payton in the Saints. I mean, why not? They play great defense. And, you know, he'll get I think he'll get Michael Thomas. I don't know if Michael Thomas will ever play again, but he might get Michael Thomas back. I don't think we're going to see him chucking the ball on the frozen tundra anymore, though. I agree with that.
Titan MR text line here from Daryl says, good morning, guys. Good Gators win this weekend. Shane, you were correct about Tampa Bay's secondary, and you can't let receivers get behind you. No. Regardless of that, I don't think their secondary is very good. That's why I would have never called a run play against their front. Ed Ryan says, good morning, fellas, on the Titan MR text line. Evan McPherson needs to change his last name to McNoFearson. To think he could have still been kicking for the Gators this season. Bet Bengal fans are grateful he missed that kick versus LSU, and idiot Gator fans poo-pooed Evan on social media, and he rolled out. And is there any other collective people group more pissed this morning than the Packers defensive personnel? Give up 3 points and still headed to the Bahamas and the golf course. Chiefs Bills should be the Super Bowl, need a rematch like Bama, Georgia. Appreciate the text, Ryan.
Yeah, I have no argument here. Green Bay had that game in their back pocket, and it just got away from them. And it's, you know, it's part of the game. Special teams matter, right? And I don't know. You get Mason Crosby out there, usually good things happen. And that missed field goal to keep it at 7-0 kept life with the Niners. If it goes 10-0, I'm not so sure. But they hung in there, man. San Francisco is just something about that team is so resilient. Now, maybe that runs out this Sunday in Los Angeles. The Rams have been waiting up. They can't. The only thing, if the Rams can figure out how to block these guys, the Rams have a chance to win the game. But they couldn't block them in that game 3 weeks ago. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it should be a great day. The championship weekend is – or the championship day is great. Two great games to go to the Super Bowl, and then we have to wait 2 weeks. There you go. And then football's over.
Yep, Chris asked on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law. Brady doesn't come back to the Bucs if they don't acquire some weapons at wide receiver. Well, they had weapons. Oh, they all got hurt, and they kicked them off the team.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. You got Brown, Godwin, and Evans. What else do you want? I mean, you can't get better than that. But, yeah, you had a nutcase in one situation, and then poor guy got his knee hurt in the other. So, they got players. Mike Evans, come on. Chris Godwin, those are great players. I don't know.
No, they got weapons. They've just been injured, and injuries are part of the game. I mean, everybody has injuries right now.
You think he's coming back to play in Tampa for another year or two?
No.
I don't know why he would leave. Why would he leave?
I think he's done. I just got a feeling he's done.
Okay. Well, I mean, what has he got to be? I don't have anything to prove, but what he's changed that organization. I mean, the excitement before that game in Tampa and what he's done in just 2 years – to bring that entire city, you know, the Bucs are a big deal down there. It's the biggest thing going. And it's all because of Tom Brady. And it's all because of what he means to a team. And, you know, they were right there. But they are not as good as they were last year. I do agree with that. And injuries do have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, no question about that. Speaking with JC for a few more minutes here on the Titan MR Hotline. JC, I don't know if you missed it or you saw any of it, but golf this weekend on the PGA Tour, Hudson Swafford is your winner out in California. You know where Hudson played golf?
Georgia, maybe?
He's a damn Georgia Bulldog. They got more guys on tour. It's unbelievable.
Why don't they ever win anything in college golf? Why? I mean, they got all these
great – I don't know, but they probably have 15 guys on tour, it seems like.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of like Florida State. You know, they had all these great players on tour, but I can't remember them winning the NCAA golf championship anytime recently. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But, yeah, it's good for that kid. Shot 64 on Sunday, won it by 2 strokes at the La Quinta Course Resort out in California. I think – right now, when we got this football going on, it's kind of hard for me to really tune into the golf. I love it, though. And pretty soon we'll be bringing them over here to Florida, and they'll be playing, you know, I think TPC's in March, right? Isn't it back to the March schedule?
They play out in Arizona with that waste management, I think, this weekend, it seems like.
Farmers Insurance.
Farmers Insurance.
That's
not the one. La Jolla.
Well, John, yeah, go ahead.
John says here on Facebook Live, Buck's ready to hand the keys over to Trask. I don't know. I mean, Kyle didn't dress out one game this year, so I don't know what's going on there.
Maybe.
If you're gonna play a kid that, like, if here's the way that I feel like the National Football League works. If you have a kid in mind that's your successor to your starter, wouldn't you dress him out? I mean, Kyle didn't dress one game.
I know.
I mean, they played, 19 games and didn't dress out. So, we'll see. We'll see. Brad says Trask is not ready. Yeah, I don't know if Kyle will ever be a starter. It doesn't matter. But anyway. All right, well, we're going to let you go, JC.
All right,
I know you have we're going to go talk to Scott Carter about a little Gator basketball, Gator recruiting, and all that good stuff. Have a good day, my man.
Okay, we'll see you Wednesday, my man. We'll talk to you then. All right.
That's JC joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. When we come back, we'll be joined by FloridaGators.com senior writer Scott Carter. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studio. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Nike, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron, Dave & Buster's, Medici's, Palmetto Moon, and the HBC's restaurant, Burger's Gridiron Grill, now serving brunch on Saturday and Sundays. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. Going to go back to the Titan MR Hotline now, and we're joined by FloridaGators.com senior writer Scott Carter. Good morning, Scott. How are you, my man?
Hey, good morning, Shane. Doing well, man. Got up this morning. Didn't expect it to be that cold. Seeing my air in my car as I drove to work, man. Or seeing my breath. That was weird.
Yeah, it was very, very chilly today. No question about it. Scott, I wanted to get you on. We usually just get you on during football, but you cover a lot of sports, and you're covering one now. Women's basketball. Kelly Ray Finley, man, she's done a tremendous job as this team, playing with great momentum. Two back-to-back upsets of ranked teams. Just tell us what you've seen, and is there any chance that our man Scott Strickland might walk down to our office one day with a contract and say, you're our permanent head coach?
Well, I know Scott Strickland was there yesterday and gave her a big hug after that win over LSU. You know, when you do what she's doing, Shane, I mean, that's obviously she's making a strong case for the job, and you got to just – kind of tip your hat to what she's done, because she faced a very difficult situation when she moved into that role over the summer before the season, and you just didn't really know what to expect, what it was going to look like. And I mean, they're 15-5. They've already won more games than they did last year. They're 5-2 in the SEC. You know, you're talking about five consecutive SEC wins now for the first time in 13 years. So they're doing things we haven't seen from a program, Shane, that's had some lean years recently. And, you know, after the game, you know, they beat LSU yesterday. LSU comes into town, number 11. You know, they've got one of the premier coaches in her first year, Kim Mulkey. And, you just, this is just another test for this young Florida team. What can they respond and get another one of these signature wins? And sure enough, they did. It was back and forth. They got down in the final quarter there, but they clawed their way back and really won it with I think, what their identity is. They're just a team that has talent but also has a lot of fight. And I think that's a credit to what Kelly Ray Finley's done. To these players are really playing hard for her. You can see that out there on the floor. And that speaks a lot of her approach and just what she's built within the culture of the team. I mean, they're doing this, Shane, their best player, you know, quote unquote, Lavender Briggs. You know, she announced recently that she was out for the season with the shin fracture. Then she decided to transfer to Maryland. Well, they're 5-0 since then. So a lot of things working in their way. And it's a team that, you know, after the game yesterday, Kelly Ray said it herself. She looks at this team as being a unique team because they can play in so many different ways. They can go big, they can run, they can get down and dirty with some good defense. So she's got a 10-deep roster, a lot of interchangeable parts, and all the buttons she's pushing right now, Shane, are working.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Scott, I wasn't at the game, obviously. I was out of town, but with the recent success, has any of the attendance improved a little bit for the girls' games?
They did have a better crowd yesterday than I'm accustomed to the last few. I don't know the number. I think it's around 1,500, 1,600. But they're hoping to, you know, that gets better. They spoke about that after the game. I mean, you know, Kelly Ray and Jordan Merritt, sophomore forward, they were both asked what it was like to, you know, see the crowd really into that game. And, you know, they both said that's a tremendous source of energy for them. And they're hoping that the crowds build. And, of course, they got number one ranked. They're off this week, Shane, until next Sunday when number one ranked South Carolina comes in. I mean, that's a huge task for them to keep this winning streak going against that team. But, you know, I do expect it to be more competitive than some of those recent matchups we've seen between these two programs. And who knows? I mean, you know, with what they're doing right now, you get – they're confident right now. You get a big crowd. You get some energy in the building. We've all seen weird things happen before. That's one of the things that if you haven't seen this team play, I will say, just as someone who's been to a couple of games now in person, I mean, it's a different looking product than we've seen in the last few years. I mean, they're executing at a high level. I mean, yesterday down the stretch, you know, I thought both teams, you know, they did some things that to win a game. And Florida came out to win instead of to lose a game, you know. So good performance really all around for the Gators on Sunday.
Titan MR text line, Sherry says, Scott, and I kind of touched on this earlier, do you think Scott Strickland hires her at the end of the year?
Well, he keeps his cards pretty close to his vest and stuff like this. I mean, I haven't had any conversations with him specifically about this. But I just used my eyes, and I was there yesterday, and I stayed on the court after the game just to see what kind of interaction he might have with her. And, you know, after she did her radio hit after the game, I mean, he gave her a big hug and, you know, high-fived some players, and they had a short chat there. And if you're him, I mean, you see what's going on. I mean, I wrote in my column today, if there was an interim Coach of the Year award, I think Kelly Ray gets it right now. So she's doing what she has to do. Ultimately, you know, what does Scott do there? I don't know. I mean, I think he's got a lot of support if he does hire right now, because I know my Twitter mentions after the game, I mentioned interim coach, and a lot of people said you need to take that interim off. And that's the other Scott who will do that if it happens. But I think it seems to be trending that way, but again, there's some things that, you know, has to be worked out, and I'm sure he's taking a long view of it to see how all this plays out.
Yep, at Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Speaking with Scott Carter on the Titan MR Hotline. Got a couple of Facebook Lives brought to you by Melton Law here. Don says, Scott, Ask Scott what he thinks of the UCF billboard in the heart of Gainesville on I-75 that says, quote, UCF is down the road in the future of college football, quote. Never thought I'd see such a billboard in the heart of Gainesville. Have you seen that, Scott? I haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen that yet, but, you know, billboards are fun. Let them have their fun. They come up here, I think, in 2024, I expect it to be a different kind of matchup and probably a different kind of result. But whenever I think of billboards, always, you know, hey, they're fun. I mean, the Gators have done that, too, with Billy Napier. They put some billboards around the country. But I still remember when I covered USF back when Skip Holtz got there, they flooded Tampa with some Skip Holtz, some clever billboards. And we know how that worked out. So it can bite you in the butt, too.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Billy Napier, Scott, I know you've been very busy. I know we've been busy with these recruiting weekends. What can you tell us about this past weekend, some of the kids on campus, and just how things went?
Well, I think you're seeing some positive momentum there on that side of the fence, the recruiting, you know, the new staff that they have in place, you know, Katie Baker, Bree Wade starting there up top, obviously the player development guys really, you know, pointing them in the direction of some guys they really want a closer look at to build some connections. I think you look at this, I don't know what the rankings are as of this moment, but I know, you know, after the first early signing day in December, Gators were anywhere from like, you know, late 40s to mid 60s. I think they've really come up the ladder some with some more commitments. And, you know, obviously I think they can still jump some spots depending on how National Signing Day turns out. They've got some guys hanging in the balance who I think people wrote off maybe a month and a half ago, but it seems like some guys are kind of looking at Florida differently right now with what's going on. And I just haven't been around Napier a little bit and seeing his communication skills. I can see how when you talk to him about his vision, if you're a player who's got an offer from Florida and you haven't met him yet and really know much about what they're trying to do here, I can see why, you know, you would give Florida a second look because, I mean, he's got a vision. It's detailed. It's planned out. And I think everybody's seen it with some of these hires he's made and how specific their roles are. And it's going to be interesting to see on National Signing Day if they can land another guy or two to really, you know, make this class what they call a transition class, a really good one.
Yeah, I got a bunch of Facebook Lives here, people referring to Javon Baker, the Alabama wideout. He committed to Kentucky. Lauren says that he heard he wasn't as fast as advertised. We don't need any more 4.7 guys. No, we don't. And then Andy asks, is there a Tyreek Hill-type guy out there? Hell, if there is, we need a bunch of them. We need a bunch of those dudes. Jeff says we're number 33 in recruiting on the 247 rankings, which is fine. And Lauren says, yeah, I'll take a Brandon Powell-type guy right now. Yeah, Brandon Powell returning kicks and punts for the Rams. Speaking of that, before we let you go, Scott, man, what'd you think about the playoffs this weekend? It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It really was, man. I mean, I can't ever remember seeing four playoff games in the same weekend being that entertaining, all coming down pretty much to the final play. You know, not all my teams won. I'm kind of a closet Bucks fan. I was disappointed there. I was going for the Bills last night. I love to see Evan McPherson kick that field goal for the Bengals. And, of course, you had, Tennessee the other game that came down to a field goal. So, I mean, it was just amazing football. I mean, amazing theater. Last night, what we saw between Kansas City and Buffalo, those two quarterbacks. And, I mean, 13 seconds left, Shane. I mean, that used to be, okay, you know what, let's try to get a field goal and just hope for the best. And then they get the ball in overtime, and it just like, no matter how much time's left on the clock anymore, I mean, you cannot count these offenses out the way the games evolve to that side of the ball. And, of course, fans love it. I love it. So it's a win-win for the NFL, except that overtime rule. I really wanted to see Josh Allen and the Bills get a chance there.
Me too. Yeah, the quarterback play is just phenomenal at that level right now. John says we're number 12 in the 247 overall rankings, which includes the transfers. So, anyway, real quick, Scott, before we let you go, one last thing. I know the Gators started their first phase. I think Billy Napier has like an 8-phase part of his program. I want to say he started that last week. What is that, basically just conditioning, agility drills, things of that nature?
Yeah, they've got, I think, 12 lifts, 10 team runs, and more than anything, Shane. I mean, obviously, it's conditioning and getting some numbers on paper for the coaches to evaluate and stuff of that nature. But it's also, I think, as much as anything, it's just team building, man, chemistry. Getting these personalities, all these new personalities on the coaches, staff, and in the support program to get to know these guys, know what makes them tick, know how to communicate with them. I mean, you've been through that process. It's very important with every team, and it does. I mean, you know, it's kind of a cliche. Every year is different. Every team is different. But, you know, the more you're around it and up close, you realize that is true. Because and in years like this, when there are so many new people, this is an important time of year. And you develop some accountability and expectations. And I think those are the two things that Billy Napier wants to get most out of this is to set the tone for what he's trying to do in year one.
Yes, I agree with that. A lot of people quoting here, you know, a couple of weeks until softball cranks up. Do you cover the softball, or does Chris Harry cover softball, or both?
You know, Chris goes deep on softball. I mean, I might write a story here and there. We just kind of bounce around until he's done with basketball. But I know they're going to be another, you know, they got another top program. They'll be in the top five or so. And one thing I've noticed, again, Gator fans, man, they love their softball. It's always one of the most read red teams on our website.
Yes, I'm a big softball guy as well. Okay, last thing, we just got a text on the Titan MR text line from Jonathan. He wants to know when is the move-in date into the new football facility? Have they set an official date?
Yeah, I mean, there's no official date. I think it's still targeted for summer of 22, this summer. So, you know, June or July, I would imagine. I mean, it's amazing if you've been over here in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, when you drive by now, I mean, from the backside, I mean, that building looks like it's going up fast, bricks on the outside. So now they're really working on the inside and details. But I would expect sometime over the summer. I don't have a specific date, but I know that they've targeted, you know, summer of 2022. And from what I know as of this moment, that's still on target.
You know that the structure that's being built right there by the road in front of the football facility, that has nothing to do with the football facility, right? What is that?
That is the new UF infirmary. It's been over there. I don't even know what the building on the west side or the east side behind this, you know, Yon Hall, that old area. It's been over there for years. So they've got a new infirmary going up right there as well.
Okay, got it. Yeah, Lauren says, I thought they were moving in the spring. I thought it was going to be late April, but obviously with COVID and I want to say Coach Napier, he was able to make a few changes. Wasn't he able to make a few changes to the I don't want to say the structure of the building, but just the new facility, right?
Yeah, I mean, he did have some input there. He didn't really go into detail when he was asked about that the other day. And I don't know specifically what they are. I would imagine they're pretty minor overall tweaks. But, you know, whether it could just be maybe designating some space that wasn't designated because of something he envisions. But he did credit the plan that they have. They had done their homework by going around to these other facilities. And, you know, having a really good blueprint to work from, exactly what they wanted. So, you know, and you know, these buildings, I mean, they evolve. I've been here long enough that now I've seen how they build a new building and couple years later, they're doing a little something different to it, you know, like the baseball stadium right now. They're building some addition on the outfield, you know. So that's just the nature of it. But seems to me like he liked what he has to work with there.
Yeah, Lauren says student health center. Why is it in front of the facility? I thought it was going to be like a parking garage. I kind of agree. I don't know why the hell they built that right there, but maybe they kind of had to. I don't know if it was part of the deal.
I think maybe it was probably university side and UAA side. They probably worked out some agreement there. I don't know the specifics there, but that's the way it usually works, you know, with the college. There's each side's, you know, making deals.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. I keep telling we're going to let you go. This will be it, though, Scott. We had a question on Facebook Live. When does spring practice start? Have they set a date yet?
No date that I know of. I mean, it's going to be in sometime early to mid-March. I mean, so it's, you know, it's a little over a month away. I don't know the exact date. I mean, we'll get that out there as soon as we can. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know the exact date as of this moment. So,
and I'm trying to think, maybe I'm thinking of the NFL here, because when you hire a new coach, you get more practice time in your OTAs and your mini camps. That doesn't translate into the college game, right?
No, not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought about that. Lauren asked, will that be an eyesore? Let's hope not, Lauren. Let's hope the new infirmary is not an eyesore. It's not directly right next to the football facility. So real quick, if you're driving on, I don't know what road that is, you pass the outdoor swimming pool by the O'Connell Center. It's basically the new building. The infirmary is right there, kind of where the scoreboard of the baseball field was. Would you say that's about right?
Yeah, it's kind of tucked into that footprint into the right front right corner if you're driving by Stadium Drive. And once you pass it,
they're going to have a nice drive into the football. So there's plenty of room there for parking or whatever for the coaches and stuff. It's not going to be right next to it, but I thought it was going to be a parking garage. But anyway, Sky, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking the time.
All right, thanks, Shane. Have a good one, man.
All right, that's Scott Carter joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. You can follow Scott on Twitter at GatorsScott. Let's take our final timeout, come back, wrap up this Monday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at South State Bank. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner they can rely on. South State has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking for member FDIC. I want to thank JC and Scott Carter for joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members with all levels of experience, $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. In 1999, David Duval eagles the 18th hole for a final round 59 to win the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic at PGA West, becomes only the third player to fire a sub-60 round on the PGA Tour. A couple other guys have done it since then, but that happened on This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Hope you enjoyed today's program. A lot of stuff to talk about. We'll have Buddy on tomorrow. We're supposed to have Doring on this week to talk about the award, the Steve Spurrier Coaches Award that they gave out. I think it was a tie between Shane Beamer and Josh Heupel. Mary says, thanks, Shane, for another interesting show. We appreciate you listening to our program. Manny says, do other SEC schools allow other schools to check out their football facilities? Yes. I want to say we looked at Kentucky's. We've looked at other ones. Yeah, our folks from the UAA took trips to get ideas. They don't lock you out and say no since you're one of our competitors. They went and visited a bunch of different venues and put together what they like the best. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Today's show is a wrap brought to you by Rap Spot. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care.